Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Tanya, generously sponsored by Marilyn and Michael Fedak. We remain indebted to them. Please help yourself, particularly today as we prepare for Tisha B'Av. Make sure to hydrate, slushy, coffee, pastry in our Abshaya the corner. Our learning this morning is also dedicated to L'Ilui Nishmas, our dear beloved friend, Baruch Tzvi Ben Ruvain Nassan, Rabbi Dr. Brian Galba. Today is his seventh year. It's hard to believe 7 years have gone by. The loss of this very special, holy, beloved friend. We are on the 12th parak of Tanya. We're learning all about the Beinoni. We defined the Tzadik V'Tovlo. We defined the Tzadik V'Ralo. We defined two types of Rishon, and all that was left was the Beinoni. As we've said so many times, the Beinoni outwardly parallels the Tzadik. On the outside, the Beinoni makes all the right decisions, does everything right. Outwardly, the Beinoni, in the three garments of the soul, speech, thought, and action, the Beinoni is doing it all right, making the right choices, regulating himself or herself. The entire distinction in these definitions, what the Tanya is introducing to us, is the importance of the inner world, the inner conversation, what's happening on the inside. Even when on the outside people can look and act exactly the same, there are enormous distinctions and differences, what's happening on the outside in this inner world. And though the Beinoni, though this in-betweener, the intermediary, though this Beinoni is disciplined and regulating himself or herself and winning the battle in how they express to the world through speech, thought, and action, on the inside, the animal soul, the ego, continues to influence. There's still the ego, that chamber of the heart, drawing them, distracting them, tempting them, so that daily there is a grind, daily there's a battle, daily there is a war front taking place between these two parts. Sometimes there's a mochen de gadlus we saw, when even the Beinoni is davening, when they're connected to the Almighty, to their source, so they feel, oh, I see with such clarity, this animal soul can't tempt me. I have no desire of the animal soul. But then after davening, they come crashing back to earth, where it's time for breakfast or lunch or dinner, it's time to go to work, and ego and arrogance and envy and all of the attributes of the animal soul kick in again, and the battle continues, the battle re-ensues. So the Baal Tanya continues. In addition to this physical power, we last left off, this is very important, we last left off, that Hamoach Shalit Al Alev, in the battle the Beinoni faces between the animal soul, the ego, and Elokus, the godly soul, what wins? What is the methodology? What is the strategy? How do we persevere? So the Baal Tanya said, Hamoach Shalit Al Alev. The brain rules over the heart. Now we attribute this phrase to the Alter Rebbe, to the Baal Tanya, but really it comes from the Zohar. The Zohar tells us that the head always rules over the heart. The heart desires, the heart craves, the heart has temptation, but the head, if we can get in the right headspace, if we can focus our thoughts, if we can think clearly and coherently, then the head will defeat the heart. Any person with the willpower of the brain can restrain himself, take control of the heart's urges. The heart wants to eat or look at or say or go or do, but the brain says, whoa, 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 is that a good idea? How will that result? Let's start with the end in mind. What will the outcome of that be? Will that be a positive, a net gain? Will that result in an improved relationship? Will that result in feeling better about yourself? Is that the best version of you? If we can engage the brain, if we can press pause long enough to engage the brain will always rule over the heart. Uveprat, el tzad ha-kedusha. This is particularly true when you're attempting to coerce your will in the direction of holiness. Kidechziv reisi sheyesh yisron l'chochma min ha-sichlus, ki yisron ha-or min ha-choshech. It's a pasuk from Koheles, second parak of Koheles. I saw there's an advantage to wisdom over stupidity, like the advantage of light over darkness. Wisdom will defeat foolishness. It's a nicer word than stupidity. Wisdom will defeat foolishness, like light will always dispel darkness. Perish, kamosha or yeshla yisron shlitu memshal alachoshech, says the Alter Rebbe, just like light always has the advantage and dominance over darkness. In other words, light and dark are opposites. They compete. Light, a room is either light or it's dark. They're opposites. They compete. And yet, which one wins? Which one always wins? Light. If you have a darkened room and you light a small candle, you light a small light, You turn on the light of your flashlight of your phone. The light will always win. It dispels a lot of darkness, a lot of darkness. Shema'at or gashmi docha harbe min achoshech. Physically, a small amount of light will push away a lot of darkness. When Bibi Netanyahu, before he was prime minister, when he was the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, and he went to go see the Rebbe Zatzal to get a bracha, to consult him, the Rebbe reminded him exactly of this from the Tanya. No surprise. The Rebbe said, the UN is a den of iniquity. It is a dark place. The UN is a place of moral chaos and decay and decadence and corruption. But don't ever forget, he told Prime Minister, then Ambassador Netanyahu, don't forget that even among a lot of darkness, if you light just a little bit of light, it can dispel a lot of darkness. Be the light in that darkness of the United Nations, which has only gotten worse. In that darkness of the United Nations, be that light. A little light can dispel and displace a lot of darkness. There's no struggle between light and darkness. It's displayed automatically and effortlessly. So in the same way, a lot of stupidity, foolishness of the klipa, the sitra achra, that, I mean, we've seen it so often. How many great people, men and women, have sabotaged and compromised their entire lives because of a moment of temptation, because the heart drew them to do, to go, to say, to be, to post, to pick a picture, whatever the case is. Athletes, celebrities, politicians, prominent people who lost so much, who lost it all, lost their legacy. Why? Because the foolishness, meaning if you would be able to come and say, okay, time out, stop, stop. They pull the person aside. What you're about to do, what you're about to say, what you're about to post, where you're about to go. Let me just give you some insight, a glimpse. Let me give you a crystal ball about what's going to happen. What's going to happen? You still want to do this? You could lose your marriage and your career and your legacy and your sponsorships and you're going to lose it all. Worth it? Worth it? No person in their right mind, those are the key words, in their right mind, would ever do it. Would ever do it. The same is true. You don't have to be a celebrity, a prominent person. Somebody's tempted to look at something and you say, is that the best version of you? Forget only its consequence. Don't forget, in Olam Haba and Hashem. If your spouse were to see, were to find out, were to catch, what would it mean? What would it look like? How devastating would it be? What would it take to have to repair and recover? Whatever joy, whatever pleasure you're going to get from that moment or those few moments, are they worth it? The brain will always defeat the heart. That light will always displace the foolishness. The foolishness and stupidity of the klipa and sitra achra. Now, Rav Chaim Miller in his commentary points out, it goes without saying that wisdom is preferable to stupidity, light's preferable to darkness. What Kohelis is teaching us, the dynamic in which they displace it. Just like you go into a dark room. Now, on the one hand, it's very important to remember, zelu uma zeh, Kodesh Baruch Hu created this opposite that. Hashem designed and created a world that they're equal opposites. In order to have bechira, in order to have free will, we have to have two presenting alternatives, two equal opposites, so that we have free will. So the dark and the light, they're tempting to us. They present themselves equally. The good and the bad, the dark and the light, the wisdom and the foolishness, they present, they come across equal. However, ultimately, they're not equal. While they look equal, they tempt us equally, the reality is, if only we can introduce a little bit of light, it'll displace and dispel a lot of darkness. So the forces of evil equally match the forces of good. In other words, the darkness is deep. It draws you down. You could get lost in it. It's real. It's equal and opposite the light. But the Alter Rebbe says, but a little bit of light will always defeat. If we could press the pause between the impulse and the action, there is a moment. We think there isn't. We think the moment we have an impulse, we have to act. But there's a moment between the impulse and the action. If we can press pause and engage the moach, engage the brain, engage the light, a little light will always win. It'll defeat a lot of darkness. A lot of darkness, just a little bit of light, just a little bit. And a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of thought, a little bit of mindfulness, a little bit of wisdom will defeat a lot of stupidity and foolishness and temptation and drive and desire. K'maymar Rabbeinu Zichrono Livracha, Chazal taught us, Gemara in Sota, Daf Gimel. The whole reason that we indulge and make those mistakes, we can't control ourselves. We know if we eat this, it's consequence. It's bad for us. It's It's going to have negative implications on our health, on our well-being, on our waistline. And yet, it's 12 o'clock at night. I'm hungry. Got the munchies. Go to the cabinet, eat an entire bag of potato chips, of corn chips. Oh, it's almost a fast day. So for a week before the fast, we overeat. And a week after the fast, we excuse it, we overeat. And by the end, the fast well outweighed by all the eating we did to compensate, somehow convincing ourselves that it all equals out when it doesn't. But what? And if you press pause and say, okay, let's look at your next lab result. Let's look at your impact on your longevity. Is it still worth it? Can you just control a little bit between the impulse and the action, that pause? It's a ruach shtus, this foolishness. Why do we do it anyway? Why do those athletes and politicians and prominent people, why do we, simple people, nevertheless indulge that desire, that drive, even though we know the negative impact it's going to have? Why? Why can't we control ourselves? Nichnas ruach shtus. There's a foolishness. Foolishness. Stupidity. His translation is better. We're stupid. Stupid. The Ramchal writes in Mesillas Yesharim that an animal eats something and finds it harmful, it stays away from it forever. It knows, don't go back again. We say or do or go or eat or look at in ways that we know are harmful to us, and we just keep coming back again and again. Who is developed and sophisticated? The cat, the dog, the hamster, or you? The cat, the dog, the hamster, they know if you ate that, got a bad reaction, ate that and you got hurt, injured, it knows, done, wouldn't go near that again. And we keep coming back to the same stupid because we're stupid. I'm sorry to use such a word, but we are. There's a ruach shtus, there's a stupidity inside us. There's the stupid part of us that shuts off the brain, that shuts off the thinking, that shuts off the self-control. And we allow ourselves to be stupid because that's the thing we want to do so bad, says, be stupid. The only way I'll win, the only way I'll get you to do what I want, I got to make you stupid for a little bit. Be stupid. And the answer is, don't be stupid. The answer is, don't be stupid. Wisdom. Wisdom over stupidity. Light over darkness. The delusion caused by the animal soul can instantly be dispelled by the wisdom of the divine soul. Who wants exclusive control of the small city. We want the Beinoni ultimately makes the right choices, but this battle, this struggle, this conversation, this conflict between light and dark and stupidity and wisdom, it's going on in the Beinoni. And that's where the Alter Rebbe continues, that even though the Beinoni does all the right things in the end, outwardly this Beinoni to us looks like the greatest tzaddik that ever lived. On the outside, the Beinoni does everything right, yet Eino Nikra Tzaddik Klal. He's not called a tzaddik. Why? Because the advantage of the divine soul's light that ultimately displaces the darkness, it's only in the outward manifestation. It's only in the world, the external world. But it doesn't help the deep core of the divine soul in that war. In that war. So here's basically the way the Beinoni lives. And it will end here and pick up next time. Not next time. Next time won't be for a few weeks. Mitzvah Hashem, after Tisha B'Av, we're taking off for a few weeks. So we'll see you again in Elul. But you could still chazer, review, go ahead, listen to someone else's Tanya, learn a lot more. It doesn't mean you're off the slot. If you've allocated this time to learn every week, you still got to learn, even though we're on vacation. So, but we'll end with this. Can you imagine, like, there's something that's attacking you, and you fend off every attack. Every attack. You fend it off. You push back. But you haven't actually advanced. You haven't actually won. You haven't persuaded. You haven't transformed. You haven't changed anything. All you've done is successfully defend yourself in the attack. So for the Beinoni, the animal soul is constantly attacking him. Look, eat, go, say, do. And each time the Beinoni succeeds in saying, no, no, no. There's a pause between the impulse and the action. I have a brain. I'm going to make the light displace the darkness. Each time the Beinoni wins, but he's still battling and battling and battling. The Beinoni's back at the pantry every night at 11:30 looking at those Cape Cod potato chips. Every night the Beinoni closes the door and says, not good for me, I don't need it, I'm going to bed. Every night the Beinoni makes the right choice in the end. And yet the Beinoni still finds himself every night facing the potato chips, looking, tempted, smelling, crunching the texture, opening the bag, deeply wanting it. And that's why he's not a tzaddik. He can't be called a tzaddik. Why? Because the atzmusa of the klipa, their internal battle, that drive, that desire, that darkness, that alternative, that option is still presenting itself. Still presenting. He's fending off every attack. He's winning every battle, but that voice is still there. And that's why he's still a Beinoni. In some ways better than the tzaddik. Tzaddik is like potato chips. I don't even like potato chips. Who would eat potato chips? So that tzaddik, what does he know from a battle? But a Beinoni knows this battle and wins every week, every day, every night. Halavai Beinoni. Why? Halavai Beinoni. Mitz Hashem. See everybody in Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash. No Tisha B'Av, no sitting on the floor. And Halavai will pick up Amir Tashem next time. They should bring Besoros Tovos, Yeshuas, V'Nechamos. Amen.